Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Turning us, speaking on with him, and well, we thank you, everybody. We're gonna take time out for a quick prayer for the show. Lord, we ask you to bless this show, anoint it. We dispatch angels to for answered prayer, for answers, prophetic utterances, Lord, that we give, that you would do your warfare for us on your behalf, that you would send them on our behalf, in Jesus' name. And we come against any demonic activity. We bind it and command all assignments of the enemy to be canceled. We call them null and void in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Well, praise God. We're going to go ahead. I was going to play some music, but we're going to go ahead and start. And I'm going to give some scripture, maybe some testimony. I'm not sure yet. I'm still waiting on the Lord. But I did get one scripture for sure that we really need to focus on. And it's what we're doing with that little tongue of ours. Try it again. Can you hear me, Lynn? Can you hear me? Testing. Okay. Well, hopefully everybody can hear me. I just turned my volume up. Is that any better? A little bit better? Okay. As I was saying, Proverbs 18:21. Life and death is the power of the tongue. Those that love its fruit shall eat it. And the Lord has been showing me all week the same thing. It's about confession, testimony. What good report, what good news do you have? And, you know, what has the Lord done in your life that would change me if I wasn't a Christian? Why would I want to be a Christian? What is going to come out of your mouth? And what are you doing besides that? Because if you say you're a Christian, I'm watching you because I want to see, are you really who you say you are? And, of course, what comes out of your mouth is very important. Like I said, life and death. What are you doing? You know, do you have any good reports? Do people have any good reports about you? You know, in the workplace, are you peaceful among people? Can people count on you? Do they think highly of you? And then when they find out you're a Christian, now they go, aha, now I know why they're that way. That's why they're so good. That's why they're so patient with people. This is, like I said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Those who love its fruit shall eat it. And then the testimony part, people. We need to have a good report. I just gave a good report to five different people, and they all received it. Now, did they get saved? No. Did they get, you know, deliverance or anything? No. But you know what? I shared my testimony, and we may get a chance to save somebody today, to bring them into the Lord. But you know what? You know, sometimes we're just watering with the word. And somebody else will come in and give them the word again, and then they'll receive it. You know, but it had to start somewhere. I don't know how many times somebody has to hear the good news that Jesus Christ died, rose again, and now you can have forgiveness. You can be filled with the Spirit. You can be sons and daughters of God. And we got good news. And we need to be, you know, sharing that. Now, sometimes people won't receive it. Don't get offended. Just wipe the dust off his shoes and go your way. Hopefully that another person will bring their good news and they'll receive it. And like I said, we don't know how many times people have to hear it. You know, we're not God. We don't know how many times God wants to give them a chance, because he wants everybody saved. He wants everybody in the full knowledge of him. He wants everybody to be his children. And when I say that is when you're filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues, or if you're prophesying, if you're moving in the gifts, I mean, how can you deny God when you get filled with the Holy Spirit? If anything, when you start praying for people, they get saved, they get healed, they get deliverance, you give them a prophetic word, you want more. You want more of God in you, less of you, more of God. Because that's the power of God into salvation. People are going to stand up because this is not the excellent speech they're hearing. They're getting the power of God, that God is real. God is alive. God cares for me, that he would heal me, that he would save me, that he sent his son for me. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. We have this joy in us that we shouldn't be hiding it. We should be lighting that, have that lit candle up, people to see it. And that's why we give testimony. Testimony is very important, because there's people that are dying in this world because they know that there's something out there. They're even seeking power. They might even go to a psychic. They might go to different things that are not of God, because they need the power of God. And we have the answer, and we need to be able to give it. And when we give testimony, it encourages the believers and those that are unbelievers. And that's why we give testimony of how God did this in my life, or so-and-so prayed for me, I got healed, or I got the Holy Spirit, or on and on and on. And that's to encourage others to receive what we got, because it's not just for me, it's for everybody. It's available. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and start with a first caller. Just give me a minute here. Okay, 903-720. Give your name, where you're calling from.
This is Sylvia from from Texas.
Okay, I'm writing it down, Sylvia. Okay, I'm just going to put my phone on mute and just to seek the word for you for a moment, and then we'll get back to you, Sylvia. If I hear any static, I'll just mute your phone, but right now I don't hear any static, okay?
All right, thank you.
Well, Sylvia, I saw immediately a couple of things, and they both were basically the same thing. So the first thing I saw was that you had a lasso and you were roping these things, like you were picking them out. And then I saw you in like an area where there was a lot of fruit. You were just looking, well, I don't want that one. I want that one. And you picked it. And the Lord is saying that, you know, bring your petitions to me. Desire the spiritual gifts. And that's what I'm saying, to desire the spiritual gifts. Go ahead, Linda.
I saw a river, and I saw you on a raft in a river, and it brought to mind the scripture, Revelation 22:1, where it says, let me read it. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And I that's what I see.
I hope that meant something for you. Right. Sylvia, there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, well, like I said, I hope that meant something to you.
Yes, it did, what you all told me last week. Same, still confirmation that
okay.
The spiritual gift, yes, the spiritual gift of seeing and laying hands on and just witnessing to people. you told me some of the same thing last week, and I would just seem just like a confirmation. Yes, it mean a whole lot to me.
Yeah, the river was moving very swiftly, and you were on the raft in the river. So, obviously, I believe that means, and I shouldn't say obviously, but what you're saying, I believe that was like the Spirit of God and you riding on the Spirit of God, that he's gifted you and you'll be able to use those gifts, you know, and you're just going for the ride, basically, because you've unlocked, you know, you put the key in, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, God gives you these gifts and you'll just be flowing, literally flowing in it, like with the Spirit of God.
Yes, amen.
It's just that we put our petitions before the Lord with the gifts, and usually he establishes you with a gift right away. And I just believe when people are faithful, God will, when he starts seeing how faithful you are, that means I can trust you with more. And that's why I think the words I was giving before I even took the call, meant something. Hopefully it meant something to everyone is listening, and just even your testimony of what God is doing with you is an encouragement to others, and that's why we encourage people, you know, give testimony. Let us know what God did. If we prayed for you last week, see, I don't remember what I prayed last week. I don't remember what I prayed for anybody last couple of days, probably, because sometimes I pray for people at work, and, it adds up, and I just can't remember, and I don't necessarily take notes, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So you're encouraging us when you say things like, you know, that's the same word I got last week, meaning God is reaffirming this is what he wants for you.
Yes, you told me last week I was in a puddle, and I was basically some of the same things, and I was walking in with his power, and that I was a seer, and I'm just reading what I wrote down last week. It's basically some of the same things you told me this Monday night. And that you told me that this Monday night I was riding the waves, or I was just on the ride. And it's kind of, it is basically the same confirmation. Yes.
Well, praise God.
Thank you.
Is there anything that's been going on this last week that's different?
That my body is healed. You reclaimed the healing for my diabetes and broke generational curses. And Linda pulled daggers out of that pancreas. And my blood sugar has been just great this week, this past week. And I just feel great. I feel great. And
praise God.
And, yes. And I know that my body is healed. And
amen. I agree with you. I'm in agreement. Linda's in agreement. And I believe everybody who's listening is in agreement, because the Word of God said so. And we're going to believe it. And that's why we tell our body to line up with the Word of God. Blood sugar level, get normal. You know, get to 98 or 95 or whatever we need. You know? And that's the testimony that sets people free when they start hearing, hey, there's healing over here. It's still available for today, because there are so many people out there that say the craziest things about the Spirit of God. And, it was for the disciples. And what is not for us now. I mean, it's just amazing what's out there. I won't name it all, because I don't want to speak negative. I want to speak what God's doing. And that's what you just did. You gave testimony about your blood sugar level being normal or better than before, and that you have energy, which, of course, diabetes tries to rob you of that. And we just thank God for that testimony. And we're looking for more testimony from you. And, Sylvia, God not only has a plan and purpose for you, he's letting us know that he's with you, he's not going to leave you. And once you start tasting the heavenly calling and seeing how he healed me, I'm not going to get into it, but I maybe in a couple of weeks, if Linda and I do a Saturday or a Friday night or something, I'm going to give a testimony of a dream I was in heaven. And it's going to pertain to part of this, what you just said. And hopefully God will bring it back to remember. meaning your testimony.
Amen.
Not the guy.
Amen.
Because there is a song to sing in heaven. And it, we all have our special song. And that's,
yes,
look what the Lord has done. How he healed me. How he set me free. And that's all I'm going to say about that for right now. But praise God. I mean, you just pumped me up. I just got, it's like I'm walking,
yeah,
on air now.
Well, there's nothing better than to be used by the Lord. You know, there's nothing like it. When you lead somebody to the Lord, when you get them baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you see, it's just, it takes your breath away. There's nothing like it. And that's the love of Christ operating in the body. You know, but I wanted you to know, the river of God, there are people that have gone to heaven, and they give testimony about the river, where they jump in the river in heaven and they swim through it. I've heard many. And when I saw this river, right away the Lord told me, this is the river that flows from heaven, that you're going to be riding the wave in the river. So get ready to be used mightily,
amen,
in the Lord. And I believe one,
amen,
of those gifts will be deliverance and healing, because you know that you see the spirit behind a lot of the, it, you know, there's, Christians can't have demons is a lie. Most of the sicknesses, you know, for instance, you could get in a car accident. You say the car accident is not, and it's not a demon. It could be an attack, but generally speaking, you know, it's not. But as you get hurt, sometimes the demon resides in there, and they move in by your traumatic reaction to it, be it intense pain or whatever. So I'd say a vast majority of the illnesses are demonically rooted, and that's why, yes, you can get healed, but you can get delivered other ways, you know. There's a testimony of a man who got delivered by going to the altar. He sought for years deliverance from a demonic attack, and it took him going to the altar in this one church. He found that he liked the music, and he would just go and cry on the altar every service. And finally, after doing this repeatedly, he got delivered. Okay, that's one way. You know, you can submit yourself to God, and the devil will flee. But there's,
yes,
other ways, too. There's a shortcut that God has given us. But that's why I believe God's going to be, you know, giving you more revelation on that. And I believe that you're going to see miracles through your ministry. That's my roundabout way of saying, you know, for what the Lord took you through, your faith is elevated in that area because you know it's real.
Yes, yes, amen, amen, amen. From being in that coma for 7 days, you know, and laying out on it for 14 hours, you know, and he brought me back, and all, and everything you did, you told me last week, the confirmation when I go out and do my street ministry. I was at Sam's today, and the chaplain came up behind me, and I was on a scooter, and he said, well, we've all done that, just take your time. And I turn around and I said, oh, you know, I'm not on this scooter. And I started sharing my testimony with him, and he just stood there, and he said, you're just like my wife. She's had knee replacement, she's had hip replacement, and she refused to ride on that scooter. And I said, but God, I said, but God, and I start kind of telling him all the things that what he brought me through. And he said, and you are out today. I said, it'll be 5 months on the 22nd, on the 14th. And he said, look at you. You don't even, you look great. Look, maybe, I thought maybe you had a hip replacement or a knee surgery or something. I said, no, I was in a coma for 14 hours, and I was only breathing only 10%. And I'm not on oxygen. I don't have a trach or anything. I said, because he healed me, and he and I'm just going to testify to you. And they wanted me to give him a hug, and I did.
See, that's it. That's it. That's everything.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody's listening. That's why we, you know, God lets us go through things. He doesn't put it on us. He does not put sickness on us, but he gets us through it, so we can testify to others, because they need to hear the good news. They need to hear the gospel, and this is the gospel that is alive, and that's what Sylvia did. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Well, that's just that God is faithful to complete everything, and that's just it. He doesn't. He's the one we trust in.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And like I said, Amen. He's faithful to bring it to completion, whatever it is, and that's why we stand on His word. And praise God. Like I said, Sylvia, you really making me walk on water here. Meaning, I feel like I can walk on water. I could walk. I mean, really.
Amen.
Like testimony is yes. You've elevated our faith. Thank you.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
God bless you. Is there anything else we can do?
No. I just need you to just pray for me for my entire body. You know, I just want to keep my healing. I just need you to just pray for me. That's what I just need, prayer. And I want to get closer and stronger I just want to be closer to the Lord.
Linda, can you pull up Jude 1? And because I was reading Jude 1 today, and find it where Michael the archangel, it's about halfway down. Michael the archangel. Yeah, scroll it down. You see Michael the archangel? Okay, read that. Just read that.
All right, just give me a second. Going back and forth here. Okay, it's Jude 1:9. Yet Michael and the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee."
And that's what we're going to say right now, because we're contending for your body, for healing, and the devil, we say, "The Lord rebuke you." In Jesus' name, we give thanks, glory, and honor, because you're covered with the blood, you're covered in His majesty, and the devil has to flee. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we thank you. We praise you for Sylvia right now in Jesus' name, that you would plead healing, that you would bring it to completion in Jesus' name, that Sylvia's body right now line up with the word of God, and that she's healed and whole, that she's not in a scooter, that she's walking it with full strength, that you're just, every breath that she takes, you just pour more of your strength into her body now, more strength into her body, that you're renewing and restoring whole in Jesus' name, Sylvia's body right now in the name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord, we dispatch her angels round about her to assist and bring that healing to completion in Jesus' name, and do a swift work in her in Jesus' name, and that her testimony will heal others, that would build their faith to receive all that you have for them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, praise God.
I receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
God bless you. God bless you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. If you're done, we're going to go ahead and go to the next caller. And, man, I can't wait to see what's next, because obviously God is moving, and you've helped moving by sharing your testimony, Sylvia. You have just opened a window
thank
in
you.
Heaven where angels are ascending and descending.
Amen. Thank you, man and woman of God. Y'all have a blessed night. Thank you
so
much.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to the caller. Give your name and where you're calling from. It's 770. 770-807. Hey, Tanya.
Yes, this is Tanya calling from Texas.
Okay.
Hello.
All right, just give us a second, Tanya. And I was hearing some background noise, but I'm not hearing it now. So I'm going to mute my phone, and we'll get back to you. If I hear some background noise, I might have to mute your phone. I just don't want you to know.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I'm hearing background noise, yeah. Okay, Tanya, I guess. Sometimes we see things and it's like, what's going on here? Well, I saw you like, you know how the traditions of, you know, how Moses gave them traditions, like to wash the plates, wash their hands, and these traditions. And I just heard God say, for Tanya, stay away from the traditions of man. Go with what I said, because in the spirit, the law is null and void to you. In other words, desire the spiritual things. Don't look for the traditions of men, because when they had those traditions, it wasn't enough. They still had to make the sacrifice every year. It was not enough. But Jesus dying on the cross, ending that, ascending to heaven, sending the Holy Spirit, now where the Spirit is, there's liberty. And that's what the Lord is saying, that you have liberty. And Linda, do you have anything?
I don't want to give this. I asked the Lord to show me something else, but this is what I'm saying. It's like you're on a camel and you're in the desert and you're going to the pyramids in Giza. And I don't know why, but that's what I'm seeing. And that's it.
That's interesting.
That's
very interesting.
That's just it. We see things and we don't know. We're just going to declare. Sometimes we get revelation. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's like I said, you know, every word that comes forth, it's not really for us, but yet there are people that could put a petition up and say, hey, I'd like some of that.
Yeah, I didn't get anything else, just to let you know. I really did not want to get that. But that's why I'm telling you that, because it stayed. And sometimes people give me something else, you know, he'll show me, okay, this or that, and nothing. No, that's what I'm seeing, and I don't need, so does that mean anything to you?
Well, what Jim said about traditions certainly does, because, and I don't know if this ties in, but traditionally or historically, there's been a trend of divorce in my family on both sides, on both my mother and father's side of the family. And I am currently separated from my husband. We're approaching probably a year and a half, almost 2 years of being separated. And initially, when I made the decision to leave the home and take the children, because there were a lot of deep-rooted issues that I discovered, unfortunately, after I married him, that were affecting the marriage and affecting the example that we were setting for the children, you know, I had my mind and my heart set on divorce. And since then, I have opted to trust in God and believe in God, that it will be restored. And believe it or not, as we speak, in what appeared to be a very volatile situation, but as we speak, he and I are still together. And we are at a point where we have some fairly decent conversations now. There was a lot of tension, a lot of vitriol, and a lot of finger pointing and anger and rebellion that took place by phone for almost a year or a year or more. And it appears that we've gotten beyond that point. But my concern is that not only did I make up my mind that I wasn't going to do what has traditionally been done in my family and just run and file for divorce, I decided that I would wait for God to work and look for signs and miracles in the interim and confirmations that this is going to work and that this is going to be aligned and come back together. When I came back to Texas, because I'm from Texas, I came back in 2017, I was facing a mountain of issues. It wasn't just separation. There was a judgment that had been entered against the estate for a relative whose property I had inherited. There were lawsuits flying, and there was no money because I had drained pretty much every resource I had to pay for legal fees and just try to survive and take care of the children. My husband was upset about me leaving, so he didn't help me financially, and it was almost as if he spoke curses over me that seemingly were coming true at the time. But you know, I called in and I received a prophetic word from you all, and I wanted to make sure that I did my due diligence and try to understand what it was that I was being told and taught and guided to do. And as we speak, those lawsuits have been dismissed. Case has been overturned. I have come out on the positive side of a malpractice suit against two or three attorneys in East Texas. My property has been returned to me, and I'm just amazed because there were all types of things that were being spoken. You know, I was putting them all together. I remember you all suggesting that I change my diet. And while I was in the process of changing my diet, literally in the grocery store, listening to PGN, you all, you know, selected my phone number, and I didn't even raise my hand, but I very specifically remember Linda saying, I see you in a baseball field, but you're holding a football, and you can't play baseball with a football, so there's something that you're still doing in the natural that you need to turn over to God. And I spent probably a month trying to figure out what in the world that could have been. And what I figured out was that I was still trying to handle my marriage on my own instead of turning it over to God. And so that's essentially what I've done. I mean, we've had our ups and downs, but we are still together. And I don't plot anymore. I don't plan conversations. I don't try to figure out what I'm going to say to him when we do see each other. I don't send him thought-provoking text. I trust God. And so when Jim asked us to testify and tell, you know, what God has done for us, a situation that from the outside looking in was seemingly impossible has just been turned around. So that marriage, or this marriage, is the one mountain that I'm speaking to that still has yet to be resolved, but I'm trusting in God to handle this as well. And so I just want to say thank you and thank God for the prophetic word and for what you've shared with and your vision, because he is bringing me through fire. And there was a time when I didn't know how I was going to pay the bills, and I went from that to where we are today. So he is working for anybody that may be wavering or afraid or in doubting God and what he can and will do. Let me tell you, he's got it. Just give it to him, because that's part of the problem, or at least it was part of my problem, is that I was holding on to bits and pieces of it, thinking I could handle certain aspects of it when I essentially just needed to turn it over to him. So that's what I wanted to share with you all.
Well, praise God. That's pretty awesome. I'm so glad that you have a turnaround and the judgment and everything else from the property. And we're believing that your marriage will be restored. And Linda wants to say something. Go ahead.
You know, I should elaborate that when I saw the pyramids, I sought the Lord on the connection. And I do believe it has to do with Exodus and Moses and the Israelites. And when you're speaking, but, I mean, you need to seek God on that, because, you know, it's interesting, because I think the Lord requires that of you, because just like the something being out of alignment with you and you sought the Lord and he gave you the revelation, he's going to give you the. I don't want to interpret too much of it, but I do believe it's connected. And I believe listening to what you're saying, I'm getting revelation on why I saw what I saw. But I'm going to leave it to you to seek God on that, because, you know, he does speak to you that way. So this is just a connection I'm seeing, and I think it's very pertinent to what you're testifying to us right now, that you're going through and have, you know, come through and continue to battle with.
And that's just that we want to encourage you. Like you said, you gave it to God. Once you give something to God, you don't do what the Israelites did in the desert, which was look back.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. Yeah.
Well,
also murmured. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank
no,
you.
Okay.
I'd like to ask for guidance on something that I said that I shouldn't have. I've been very careful about my words. I'm learning more and more about the devil writing on your words and waiting for you to speak something that is incongruent with God's word. I'm usually very careful. I have my moments. I'm not perfect. And my husband has had problems with his kidneys over the last year or so. Part of it is because of all the medication that he was given for blood pressure. Part of it was because he went through a rebellious phase when I left, where I think he may have been drinking heavily and just not taking his medicine. But at any rate, it got to a point, and he didn't share this with me until after the fact, it got to a point where he was having to have his kidneys checked pretty much every week, every 2 weeks, and eventually he got back to a point where he was able to go once every 3 months because that was standard. And recently, in talking to a friend, I remember saying, you know, I need to get prepared and look at getting a home in this area because if anything happens to him health-wise, I need to be prepared. And I want to rescind that, R-E-S-C-I-N-D. I want to rescind that because that is not a reflection of my faith in God. It's not a reflection of what I know God can do. I know that God is capable of healing and that he will heal him, but I'm concerned about speaking as if I'm expecting the worst. So I really need guidance and prayer there and prayer for his health.
You need to repent of that, you know, the declaration you made, but it was also because you didn't have the faith in God, and that's what God requires us to have, faith in him. So, you know, not believing God. God's not a man that he should lie. It is finished means that he did the complete work. People constantly are now unknowingly cursing God by saying he doesn't heal everybody. He does, but if there's faith requirements sometimes. Some people have the gift of healing, and that supersedes your faith. But God has already done the work. And when we speak things that don't line up with his word, we repent of it. And God forgives it. Guess what? It goes into it's washed in a river of blood and never to be, the Lord doesn't remember it anymore. And then you can't beat yourself up on it because you've given it to God. So you let go, you forgive yourself, and, you know, just rest in that. God will heal your husband.
Amen.
You know, you
believe
that,
that.
You speak it. You speak it. It's what you speak with your mouth. And each time you speak it, it builds your faith up because he's already done it. He did it. He healed us, but we receive it. It's like, I have a gift for you. Until you take it, you don't have it. But I have it here. It's wrapped. It's for you. But you haven't grabbed it from me. You haven't taken it. You what? Do you think I'm, you know, you haven't reached for it. You haven't grabbed it. That's really what it is. Now,
well, I do
somebody,
think that after he... After speaking with him last night, and he said that he had to go back, you know, after doing so well and be, you know, have some additional tests done, I really thought that it was a result of what I had said. And I do want to, I'm
yeah.
asking God for forgiveness right now.
Yes. Yes.
That's it.
That's
what we do. When we say something negative or contrary to God, we just need to repent. And then we need to speak life over it instead of what we did before, which was almost calling God a liar by saying, well, he's not going to be healed, or he's not healed yet, or, you know, it's like blaming God. It's like murmuring because we know what God says about it, and that's what we stand on. And, you know, there is a testing of our faith. Do we really believe? Because if we really believe something, we won't go against it. We won't say anything negative.
You know, one of the best healing teachings that I can attest to is dynamic is F.F. Bosworth's Christ the Healer. And that there's a book, and I believe every spiritual Christian should have that book. But you can access it by audio, by YouTube, for free. The entire book is being read by his son. F.F. Bosworth's son, and it's really like you can just play it on YouTube and listen to it and build your faith because it's all about faith, really.
Are you
right,
saying
it's called
F.F.
Christ
son,
the Healer.
Like F as in Frank, Christ the Healer?
Yes, Christ the Healer. F as
okay.
in Frank, F.F. Bosworth. Dosworth.
Thank you.
One of my favorite books. Okay. Let's see, Tanya. Anything else? Oh, okay. What's your husband's name?
His name is Kennard. K-E-N-N-A-R-D.
Kennard. Okay, got it. Okay, let's lift up Kennard right now, Lord. We lift him up to you because, you know, Lord, you knew him before he was informed. You know, even today, you know every hair on his head. And, Lord, we give you thanks, glory, and honor because your hand is not too short to reach out to him. You can talk to him in dreams and visions, Lord. You can be great for people in his path to help him keep on the straight and narrow path, which is a lamp unto or his feet. That is you, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to put a hunger in him, Lord, for your ways. And Lord, we give you thanks for that, in Jesus' name. Do you have anything else to add? And right now we speak to that kidney, even right now, that the devil's a liar, and we bind that spirit and cut its root and tentacles, and any strong man, and we bind him too, and cut all the root and tentacles, and command it to go to a dry place. And we speak high blood pressure. We bind that spirit too, in the name of Jesus, and by the blood of the Lamb, we cut its root and tentacle, and command it to go to a dry place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we can thank the Lord because you not only hear us, you answer us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Well, thanks for
Hallelujah.
Your testimony, Tanya. And I hope everybody
thank
who's listening
so
heard that. I know you encourage people, so God bless you and thank
yes.
you.
God bless you and thank you. You all have a good evening.
You have a blessed night.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. Let's see here. Raylan? 734-672.
Hi, my name is Jennifer. I'm calling from Michigan.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good, good. Okay, what we're going to do is just mute our phone. If I hear some background noise, I might mute your phone. And then we're going to seek the Lord for you, and we'll get right back to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Jennifer.
I saw a mountain peak, and then I saw you with a walking sticks where you traverse. You're scaling the mountain, you're walking, you're climbing steadily up. And then I saw you like a Moses going to the top of the mountain to hear from, you know, to have a communion with God, to have God speak to you. And that's, you know, I see you seeking God in that manner. And that's what I think.
Yeah, I saw it looked like balls, almost as big as balloons. But then I saw it was sort of like, then I saw, you know how kids jump into that bat of balls? You know what I'm saying? There's like a bat of these plastic little balls, and they jump into it and have fun. It's like they can swim in it and hide in it. And then I just, even now, I'm still getting more revelation. Because sometimes when you speak a word to somebody, you only get a little bit, but as long as you keep speaking it, he starts giving you a little bit more, a little bit more. And then I heard the Lord say, those balls are not balls. You're moving in me. And that's the Spirit of God. It's like the river. And what I said to the kids, it's like they're swimming in it. And that's what the Lord is saying. It's a good time. It's a refreshing time, is what he's saying, that he wants to refresh you. Amen.
Amen.
Okay,
yeah, those are.
You, what Linda said, and whatever I said, a lot of times it doesn't mean much to us, but that's what I got was refreshing. Linda, you have something else?
Yeah, I believe it's you seeking God, not God asking you. I believe that it's you as you seek him, and he's going to take you to that mountaintop and have you know, a special communion with you. That's pretty awesome. I mean, it's like, you know, it doesn't have to be, it's not a literal mountain, but it's, you know, it's a time with God that you just, you know, you and him, and you go, and you. Oh, okay, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, I just heard, when she said mountain, because I didn't really hear her the first time, because I was still seeking the Lord for you, Jennifer, and when Linda just said the mountain this time, it was like, the mountain is where you're spending time with just me. It's like where you do your sacrifice, your altar to me, says the Lord, spending that time with me. And that's when the refreshing is going to come. That's when revelation comes. That's when you start hearing in a small, soft voice of the Lord talking to you. And praise God.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, those,
Amen.
They definitely go along with everything that's going on in my life. And that's been my prayer recently, was I just want to get closer to him. And I just want to start, you know, moving in the gifts of the Spirit, I guess, that, because I really desire to see that and to move in that. And I mean, I am baptized with the Holy Spirit. I do speak in tongues, but I want to see, like, the power of God move, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, because that's what God wants. He wants us to see his power. He wants us to know his glory. He wants us to, you know, I'm going to have to give you a testimony right here. I was in church one Sunday, and I asked God before I even got to church, Lord, I want to see something that I couldn't see. And I got to the church, and there was an altar call, and about 50 people went up to the altar, and Linda and I were on the ministry team, so we went to go minister, and I just stood in the center of the aisle and just prayed in tongues, like, what would lead me to the right person? Because there were so many people. I mean, it was amazing. They all needed prayer. And within 10 seconds of maybe 5 seconds of me even praying in tongues, the pastor had just said, hey, Jim, there's this guy in a wheelchair in the back. You go pray for him. So I go back there and I say, hey, I'm Jim. What's your name? Willie, really nice to meet you. Let me, you can tell me what's wrong, but let me pray to the Holy Spirit and see what God needs, you know, you need, what you need. So I prayed in tongues, and the Holy Spirit said, Willie, Holy Spirit says, you need peace. You need the peace of God. And then I guess I prayed for him. I don't remember everything else that happened, but afterwards, one of the elders of the church and his sister, who were behind him because he was in a wheelchair, said, the sister said, Jim, I just want you to know, the reason I come to this church is because of you. Of course, I'm looking at her like, what is she talking about? I don't really know her. I just know her name is Janice. And the elder of the church says, yeah, Jim, she told me this 6 months ago. You're the reason she comes to this church. And, of course, then they elaborated how first time she came to this church, I was greeting at the door. I asked her her name. The second time she came, I said, hi, Janice. Because I remembered her name. The third time she came, I said, hi, Janice. I remembered her name. And she says, because you remembered my name, I knew this was the place God had for me to be in the church. And, of course, she was a blessing in the church for the benevolence ministry, mm-hmm. where they had a pantry, and she was just helping this elder all the time, and just such a blessing. So I got my answer. The thing that I couldn't possibly see, just our hellos, our anointed. We remember that life and death is in the power of the tongue. Go ahead, Linda.
Mm-hmm. One day we had prayer, open prayer. It was prayer night in the church, and I found out there was a woman about 22 years old who had cancer, and she had brain cancer, and she was dying, and the people were praying for her. And then there was a black woman whose son, he was like 16, something like that. Well, I found out he had cancer, and I went up to her, and I told her that God was no respecter of persons, and that her son deserved as much loving attention as anybody else, and that we wanted to reach out. So my husband and I, we reached out to him, and we got him. He had gone through radiation and everything, and we had gotten him the Bible on audio cassette, and we went to his house and we visited with him and we prayed with him, and we just reached out to him because I just felt compelled to do that. Well, anyway, we went to, was it a birthday party or something I was invited to? And her name was Maddie, and Maddie went to the microphone, and she singled me out and called me forward and said that I was a blessing to her. You don't remember that, Jim? Yeah. And it, like, I didn't even know that I mattered like that, that what I did mattered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still remember Maddie talking at the microphone saying, there's somebody here who reached out to me who was such a blessing, and she doesn't even know it. And I just want to recognize her and just thank her the way she's helped me and my son. Her name is Linda Thompson. And
wow.
Even before she said it, I, in the spirit, I said, she's going to say Linda.
I was shocked because I had nothing to do with, honestly, it had nothing to do with me. It was the Holy Spirit in me. I felt compelled. Mm-hmm. If you obey God and you're compelled. But I was moved because it mattered that much. With a little to me it was insignificant because I did the same thing for the other gal, you know what I mean? I reached out equally. So I didn't see it that way, but it opened my eyes. Do you know that when he was dying, he passed, but when he was dying, he was at such peace. His mother told us that he was listening to the Bibles on cassette that we had given him, and he was, because he couldn't see, aww, you know, it had damaged his eyes. And that touched me. So it's the little things that we do that, if most of the time you're not going to hear it. And, you know, Jim prayed, and God showed him. Sometimes God will move in people. People don't testify. They're not testifying what the Lord is doing. And we overcome by testimony. It's for you. It's to build faith, and it's to build faith in somebody else. And somebody else might now feel conviction that they didn't obey that prodding of the Lord for someone else, and now they know, gee, when I feel that, I better act on it. You know what I mean? So we all learn from that.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. Praise God. I mean, just, you guys didn't even know you made a difference, but really everything that God was telling you to do made a huge difference.
That's exactly right. We, you know, and when we get to heaven, we've all heard this. When we get to heaven, you know, we'll be shown all the things, and we'll meet people that we led to the Lord, or we said something that mattered to them, and or kept them on the path, or it's the little things, and we don't necessarily see it. But every now and then, we need to reinforce our faith. To hear the good testimonies, it really builds our faith, and it keeps us, it gives us the, it energizes us, breathes life into us, and everybody that hears it, really, I believe.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to encourage you that anytime somebody says a testimony, you may not see what's going on, but something is going on. And that was why when I just said hello to this person, I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't even tell you, I didn't finish the story, but later that night there was another service, and it was a Sunday night, and this was during December, and they were going to have a Christmas dinner, and my kids and I went, and I believe Linda was at work, and the pastor came up to me and said, "Hey, Jim, you know that guy you prayed for in the wheelchair?" And I said, "Yeah, Willie, why? What's going on?" He said, "Well, before you got there to pray for him, his sister and Don, who was the elder, they prayed for him, and they came to the conclusion that Willie needed peace. So when you came over and said, 'God says you need peace, Willie,' it blew their mind." And I said, "Well, Pastor, you know, we're supposed to hear from God. But you know what blew my mind is when Janet said, 'Jim, you're the reason I come to this church.' Now that blew my mind." And, of course, he looked at me like a deer in headlights because, you know what, it wasn't for him. It was for me. I know that when I say hello to somebody, it's anointed. I know that when something comes out of our lips, life and death is in the power of the tongue. I know we're speaking life. And I even feel, I'm getting chills right now because I hope everybody's getting the same revelation that that's why we bless and don't curse. We don't take any kind of insult or anything to stop us, Quinlan.
Well, it's interesting because just today, there's a pastor friend on Facebook, and he was saying, "You show me anywhere in Scripture where Christians can have a curse, and you know, can have a curse, and all this." And he said, and I showed him Scripture, and I just, you know, that guy answered his call basically. And this lady jumped on today. I was reading, and she's telling me that I'm listening to a Christian Jew. I don't even know what she's talking about. and then she's saying that I'm operating in the flesh. And I said, well, you can point that finger right back at yourself because he was operating in the flesh. You know what I mean? But then I said, you know, I'm not. And then they were referring me to this On Spirit Filled website, which I had heard of before. I'm not even going to advertise it. And, you know, and I just for a confirmation, I went to the Statement of Faith. And I looked, and they don't believe in the baptism. They can't use Scripture to back it up, though. They just use their reasoning, their logic, and it doesn't operate that way. You know, God, you know, either you believe God or you don't. And so I just said, you know, I don't follow that web. And then they were like, she was getting a little fleshy. She's accusing me, but that's what people do. So I just said, you know, since this is not a salvation issue, I'm going to leave it here. I said it's no longer civil discourse, meaning civilized back and forth. And because she was accusing me and getting, you know, and I said, so I'm going to leave it there. This is not a salvation issue, and God bless you. And I said, that's it, done. Wash the feet, you know, dust off my feet and move on, because I'm not going to cast my pearls. I'm not going to call them swine because they're believers, but I'm not going to cast my pearl and keep casting and casting and casting and casting. And then you're wasting my energy and my time. So that's wisdom too. You know, you give the good news, and if they don't receive it, you move on. So
and
there's
that's
always people
you don't, we don't get upset with people because there's a spirit motivating them in their flesh, in their soul region. And they just haven't gotten deliverance because they don't even know about it. They don't know spiritual things. So, How can we argue with them or persuade them if they don't even have the Spirit? And that's why we just pray for them and go our way, but make sure that we, like Linda said, you know, I'm praying for them. I pray a blessing over them. And, we want God to get a hold of them. God, you know, we don't want anybody to get lost. Hell is such a bad place. I don't care what you've done. I don't want you to go there. It's bad, bad. And I don't know, but they could be going in the wrong path.
Well, I just think with the body of Christ, we need to be one. We need to be united. And I don't see God in division, so I don't like to add to that. And that's just how I feel. If you claim to be born again, we'll leave it at that. Salvation issues, we're not going to get nitpicky about it. And that's just, you know, but my point is, at some point, we have to know where to just pray a blessing and move on, and that's wisdom, you know.
Yeah, when I did street witnessing, that's one of the things I said. We are not here to argue the gospel. We're here to bring good news. And they will either receive it or we'll go on our way to the next person. Because the devil will try to get you to argue about it. He wants you to stay where you're at and argue. Because then the person you're really supposed to go to will never get to hear it. Because you took time out on this rabbit trail with somebody who was really worse than that. They just wanted to abort what you were doing. And that's what we got to understand. We have good news. And some will receive it, some won't. But hey, we just go our own way. And that's why we're blessing that curse. If we have to say anything, yeah, well, like Michael the Archangel, let the Lord rebuke you. I'm not going to have any other words to it. I'm not going to be held accountable for the words I've spoken other than the Lord rebuke you.
Yes, so don't let anything, don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Because, you know, and when you, you can't expect people to always do the right thing and come back and give testimony. You know, it's like the lepers. How many came back and testified to their healing?
That's right. Out of the 10, only one came back. And that's the one that got to keep his healing, as far as I'm concerned. The other 9 probably lost it. Because there was no confession. There was no, glory to God. Because they were supposed to. They were supposed to go to the priest and do the offering that Moses said to do. As far as we know, there was nothing. And that's just that there is a public confession. That's why even Jesus, when the demoniac came to him, the demoniac, once he got freed of legion, he wanted to come with Jesus. I'll follow you. Oh, no, I need you to stay here and give testimony. Tell the family, tell the church, tell everybody what God did for you. Amen. That's all we can do. And it's going to be hard. I want to tell you, everybody who's listening, if you try to tell it to your family, it can be very difficult, because look at Jesus in his own hometown. He was not well received. And you may not be well received. So you got to use wisdom. And the best way with family is, I always say, just love on them. Don't participate in sin. If they're doing something that's sinful, don't participate. But try to be there with love and mercy, and hopefully by your good works and your good testimony, meaning you're not attacking them, or you're just praying for them and pray for laborers to come in their path, because, like I said, they probably won't receive us in our own family. And just let it give it to God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen and amen.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fun.
Yeah. It's all very
true. Anything else, Jennifer? Yeah.
I guess I just wanted prayer, because I lost my dad to cancer. So as you guys were saying those cancer testimonies, that I felt like the Lord was trying to speak to me there too. But I lost my dad from cancer last summer, and he was young. I mean, he shouldn't have passed, and he was believing for his healing, and he was declaring the word over himself, and he really, really thought, he was going to live. I mean, he had that much faith. And I guess I just need prayer, because I got a word a long time ago that God was going to tell me, why, or I was going to understand. And I still don't understand. I still haven't heard. And I guess I just want to understand, because I do believe in healing and I do believe in the supernatural power of God. But then when you see, your own father pass before your eyes, believing that, it almost makes you question,
Well, my mom, when she passed away, she had belief too, and we saw miracles. We saw God change things. Her and I am in prayer, and like you said, she didn't get healed. She didn't receive her healing, yet she was believing in it. And I believe that she was around too much unbelief, just like Jesus when he prayed for the blind man. He took this blind man out of the city. And if you read the scriptures, you'll see a few times where Jesus went into a room to pray for this little girl, but he got everybody out except Peter and John. He had to get all unbelief out. And like I said, with the blind man, when he took him out of the city, there was so much unbelief in that city, it would have hindered what he was about to do, which was heal this man's eyes. And even if after he prayed for him, he said, "Well, can you see?" "Well, I see men like 3. So Jesus prayed a second time, then he could see. And it, like I said, look at those scriptures, and you're going to see times when they had to get all the unbelief out of the area, out of the room, to let the power of God move because of the unbelief. And that's what I'm believing. As soon as you said that, that's what I saw. There was unbelief around him. It wasn't him. It was the unbelief that was around him. Go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. I want to say something. This kind of sums it up for you. Matthew 13:58, and he did, and this is referring to Jesus, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. That was in his hometown. they all knew who he was, and they were like, he's the carpenter's son. And was, you know, they didn't believe. And so Jesus himself could not do many miracles in his hometown.
What about praying for your prophet? What did you
do? Oh, you were referring to her. And, you know, what do other people say? What is in his ear? Listen, as far as healing goes, this is a tremendous thing here. This is what I tell people. People will post something on Facebook, for instance, and they'll go, anybody have a healing, please? I need my faith built up or something. And somebody says that they were, you know, their daughter was healed in heaven or something stupid like that that doesn't line up with God's word, or that God doesn't heal everybody, and then I'll confront them and say, he doesn't, he already did. And because all those things are doing is that person need a miracle, and you're robbing their faith. So it's a really important thing to just saturate yourself with faith. And you know, and when you're in a hospital setting, a lot of times they do die because they are surrounded by science, which is, you know, not moving in the miraculous. It can happen, but it's hard. It's difficult. And, you know, you hear the scripture where it says, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because there's belief, there's faith, and then there's faith that it's going to happen to you. But I've seen people say, yeah, I'm healed in Jesus' name, and have their shoulders that are, like, sloped down. And the whole body language says, you don't believe it. You feel defeated. And there are spiritual aspects to this, and I'm sorry that people don't believe that. I'm telling you, I know better. And there are spiritual aspects. Sometimes there is spirits involved of hopelessness, spirits involved of despair, things that like that, that come in and block the healing. And it's a question of deliverance to break through that barrier. Look, my brother died of cancer. It's a horrible thing to watch people die of cancer. It's a horrible thing. But
yeah,
and I mean I fasted 2 days a week, no food, for a year for his, close to it, for his healing, and salvation, because I believe, I don't know. I know he was seeking God through his cancer, so God can turn things to good, but It don't let that rob your faith, because you're operating in a realm here that is the spirit realm. And the spirit realm, you've got to go, this is what I do. I'm searching every day for answers to these questions that you have. And they're all people, some people have insight. Jim will tell you, I ordered like about 10 books on deliverance and sickness and spirits and people that have overcome and been healed. And one of the things when Jesus says, come to me like a child, to childlike faith, that sometimes is what it takes, that just total surrender where you give up. A kid doesn't hear all of that garbage. I used to walk, when I first got saved, I got healed of TMJ. I couldn't even open my mouth. It was locked. I didn't even realize I was healed, but one day it went away, and I said, oh, it's gone. And, so I used to get, like, if I was getting a cold, I took authority over it. I was instantly. But then all these people saying that God does heal everybody, even though I know better, it robbed me of that power, that faith that I had. And they're nudging, and it gets in your head. So how do you counteract that? You counteract that by listening to F.F. Bosworth's Christ the Healer on audio. You counteract that by reading books on healing, only books that prove he healed, and never have doubt, because by scripture, F.F. Bosworth proves the point that everybody, he handles every argument in that book that anybody could ever have on healing. And when people get the revelation, and one of the things is, can you really see yourself healed? Because if you could see yourself healed, you could be healed. But when you're suffering and you're in pain in your body, you're suffering symptoms, you're hooked up to an IV, you're on, forget about medication, because that really is a robber. And cancer patients are, given pain meds and everything. They're on morphine, morphine patches. That is a blockage to healing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you see it? Because it's called, they're called spirits. You know, they're called spirits for a reason. And it opens you up. But, I mean, you understand why they need it. Because it's such tremendous pain, they need relief. But once you're at that point, it's very difficult. Because your symptoms are telling you otherwise that you're healed. You know what I mean? So it's you're bombarded. It's like totally saturated with symptoms. It's so, it requires that much more faith.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I definitely understand what you're saying because, you know, I watched that myself. I saw that happen. So, yeah, I get it. I think, I know he was around people, you know, that weren't believing that, you know, and I couldn't be there all the time either because I was being kept away, you know. I couldn't see him as much as I'd like to.
Yes,
yeah,
that's absolutely true. They keep you away. That when they're in the hospital setting, and they keep you away. Well, my brother was dying. Now, my family are all unbelievers. My one sister's into New Age. If you can, you know, I didn't even want her around my brother when he was dying. You know, he's on a morphine. But the last thing that goes in their body is hearing. And I whispered in his ear the gospel, and I gave it to him. She said, "What are you doing, Linda? What are you doing? Are you preaching to him? Are you preaching to him?" And I said, you know, I said, I didn't want her to do anything counter to it. And I just, you know, I did lie. And I said, no, I'm just talking to him. You know, I'm just telling him, you know, good things. And I was definitely preaching to him. I told him to surrender to God and just, you know, I'm not going to give, you know, but watch him take his last breath without telling him the gospel. So
right.
It's hard when you have all that unbelief around you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very hard. It's just, you know, it was just really sad because he was such a strong man of faith and he loved the Lord. And, you know, I didn't see it coming. You know, it was, I really thought he was going to get healed. And it's just, I guess I'm just trying to figure out, you know, you guys said you saw me on the mountain.
Oh, yeah. I felt the same way when my mom, I was hoping, you know, and believing my mom was going to be healed. What a testimony to everybody else that would have been.
Yeah.
I have to say that I've learned since then, because I'm seeking answers. I've learned that, and you're going to hear arguments about this, but you can't change my mind. Okay, because I've been seeking this. I've spent many years studying this and delving into this. So you're not going to change my mind. These people that are going to argue this to tell you, they can argue that. But have you spent the years concentrating solely on that like I have? I doubt it. And most of those reasons, and I heard this recently, is I believe that cancer is a demon, and the reason that some people do not get healed is because they need deliverance. It's a deliverance issue. And there are open doors that it's not just that. There's other things to it, like discouragement, all these things that open doors. It could have been trauma is the strong man. And when they do that, and then you have to pray for a miracle in their body. But those are blockages to healing that, you know, the body of Christ, there's select few in this world that can see that. But that's what I see.
And that's just that some of it could be aught. They might have aught with somebody. Maybe somebody who robbed you or somebody who molested you or somebody who just, like I said, stole from you or done some kind of offense that you haven't forgiven them. And that's why Linda was saying open doors. And that's why we're so heavy into reading, you know, how do we close these doors? Because we want to make sure those doors are closed, because we don't want to give the enemy, because a curse without a caution, not a line. So we don't want to give that curse a right to come in and attack us. And we want to close that door right away. So, I told Linda, I said, every night before I go to bed, I ask God to forgive me, because I want to make sure I don't have a door open tomorrow. I want to make sure I get forgiveness for tonight. Lord, if I offended somebody, if I said something that I shouldn't have said, please forgive me. And if somebody did that to me, Lord, I forgive them. And now we have the Lord's Prayer in issue right there. He says, if you forgive men their trespasses, I will forgive your trespasses. And that's just it. We need to forget these things, forgive these things, because how can we ask if we are not going to give? We have to give forgiveness to receive forgiveness. We have to forgive the ought to bring our gift before God. And that's just it. Don't let the sun go down on any rest. Get forgiveness. Repent. And that's just one of the ways we do deliverance, is we get everybody to repent of things that you might have said to somebody, or if somebody has said something to you, and you need to, you know, forgive them. And then it removes that stronghold that the enemy has in that situation, be it, you know, cancer or something else, some infirmity. And, you know, we're still learning. You know, nobody knows it all. Not everyone does the same thing. I mean, we're all, you know, hopefully learning, because we want to set the captives free. We want people to move in freedom and in good health. This is what the Lord wants for all of us. And our soul shall prosper. And that's it. We want, you know, everything to move according to the Word of God. And that's why we pray for one another. And I had to mute your phone just for a minute, because I've been getting some bad feedback. I'm going to put it back on. Fine. There you go, Jennifer.
Okay.
Get you back on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, praise God.
Yeah.
I hope this was a good teaching, and everybody who's listening is learning too, with Jennifer, what Linda, what I've gone through. You know, that's our testimony. We know God will reveal things to us, but we have to seek Him out. We have to, you know, we want to know. And He wants to tell us, but sometimes we have to really seek Him out.
I'm not saying that intentionally. Sometimes intentionally we're in rebellion to God, unintentionally rather. And what you have to understand is the devil is a legalist. People don't realize that. He can only attack us with legality, a legal right. And a legal right, before we get saved, we have these, you know, it could be at birth. We have attacking us, and we react, and we have open doors, and then we get born again. And there's no scripture that says that anything that we opened a door to before we got saved, it doesn't affect us. But as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, we should close all those doors before they attack us, you know. We get deliverance and we close those doors. You don't get attacked. That's true. Born-again Christians don't get attacked if they live a life of repentance anytime they mess up. We can mess up. We all mess up. But we repent right away of it, and we don't let it take root. And that's what I'm trying to say. So it's like, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Basically, that's what we're saying here. I think that, yes, sometimes there's other issues. And sometimes people just get healed without going through. I'm not putting God in a box. There's other ways. But sometimes I believe, from what I've understood, there are things that have affected us. Sometimes there's a question of even blaming God or being upset with God for not healing us, or not healing, or, you know, not healing our marriage or something, and people have ought with. So there's things that there's, you know, you got to, and sometimes when somebody has cancer, we don't have time to be seeking insight, because they're, you know, that's why we need to do this now while we're still walking in health. This is the best time to study healing and to learn and listen to F.F. Bosworth, because if an attack comes, you take authority over it right away. When you're swimming in the symptoms, it's very, very difficult, and that's what I'm trying to tell you.
I just want to speak mm-hmm. people about one legality, and that's just it. Because you can sign a contract, you can sign a testament for when you pass away. I mean, these are legal documents that you're signing. And if you know the story about Ananias and Sapphira, they promised that they were going to sell this piece of land and give the money to the church. And when the husband came, of course, and Peter confronted him, and He said, "Is this the money that, you know, you got from the property? Is this?" And he lied and said yes, because him and his wife decided to hold back some of this money. Now, see, what they did was they declared this, it's sort of like a contract or a legality, and they lied or trying to steal, because this was theirs, but they went against their, like I said, it's like a contract. They broke it, and the devil had legalities over there, and that's why they ended up perishing, because of the legality of lying to the Holy Spirit. And that's just it. We need to repent if we've lied. We need to repent if we've done something wrong. And like I said, don't let the sun go down, people. You know, repent. And that's the whole foundation of Jesus. Is, you know, he came to take all your sins away, but you have to give it to him. Linda? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Jennifer, I just want to encourage you that, you know, if God is with us, because he is, and it's not really a doubt, I know he is, and we just give thanks that he is. So I don't care if there's 1,000 to my left and 10,000 to my right. He's with us, and he is able. My God is able. And that's what I'm going to believe. I'm always going to declare when people come on the airplane and I greet them at the front door and they say, "How you doing?" I always say, "Better and better." That's the only report I'm going to believe.
Right, that's
Linda's
so true.
What
do you
think of the Lord's body? What, Linda? Yeah, Linda's going to give a scripture, I think.
Okay, I just had to unmute my phone. I'm going to it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:29. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." So discerning the Lord's body, and that's why I, with that woman that was accusing me and everything, and I said, this is not a salvation issue. God bless you. Go in peace. Because we're the body of Christ, and that we can't allow any, you know, when you take communion, it's a serious thing. You're not supposed to ever take communion without total repentance. What if you did one time and you didn't repent of that? Guess what? You need to go back and repent of that. And you know, you can repent now. Say, "Lord, if I've ever taken, you know, partaken of the Lord's Supper unworthily, please forgive me." And now you close that door to the legal right. So there are things. It's a vast. Are you getting a revelation on why you're not seeing it? But there's many facets of it, and it just, yes, God heals, but we have to move in purity and cut. We basically have to. You could be living in purity now. We have opened doors from the past, like generational curses and things like that. Iniquity. There's a spirit of iniquity. We've got to come against those things that came against us before we were saved. And even as a saved, for pain in the neck. And then they wonder why, after saying that for a decade, "I'm guilty," you have neck problems, you know. And so you got to be careful what you say. I remember working with this person who said, "I'm never going to," I said it all the time. She declared this. "I'm never going to take a sick day unless I, you know, or use all my sick time," shit, a lot of sick time accumulated. "I'm not going to use all my sick time unless I have a heart attack." And I said, "So you had a heart attack?" And she said, "Yes, how did you know?" I just saw the spiritual principle. She word cursed herself for, you know, a long time. So there are aspects, facets of it that, you know, you don't need to know why, because the Lord, why would the Lord show you? You're not going to benefit from knowing if your dad had an open door, if you know what I'm saying, unless it affects you and your bloodline. And that would only affect you and your bloodline if you have open doors that you haven't repented of. So if you have any unforgiveness or anything like that.
And that's why I encourage everybody, you know, before you go to bed, you know, seek the Lord. "Lord, open my eyes of understanding, you know, unplug my ears so I can hear from you, and that way I can hear that if there's any door I have open, you know, bring it to my remembrance, Lord, so I can ask for forgiveness, or if I need to forgive somebody. And then after I do that, if I don't get anything, and I still ask God, forgive me for the ones that I offended that I don't even know I did. Forgive me, Lord. And I forgive those that, and then forgive those that did offend you. But like I said, I try not to let any offense come. I try to be Teflon. As soon as I hear an offense, I try to, no, Lord, I won't take that. In Jesus' name, I will not receive that. And so it won't take root. Go ahead, Lynn.
There's something particular about the body of Christ that you have to be careful of. I this pastor, I heard his teaching. He was streaming live. I don't agree with everything he said, but this that was dynamic. He was preaching. He had a church in Phoenix at the time, and he got a revelation of the Lord's Supper, and he taught this revelation to the church, and it was discerning the Lord's body that you can't have any division. You have to realize you're all one Christ. He said, since that revelation, if somebody says, are you Catholic? He'll say, well, I agree with this, the Catholic Church. If they say Methodist, well, I agree that they believe the Bible is God's word, so God bless the Methodist. And he would just go through it all because he refused to take any division in the body because it opens the door to a demonic attack. It's a serious thing. But since he got that revelation, he said not one, he taught it to the body, not one of the church members got sick. They moved in divine health. It's dynamic. And that's why today when I read that, that came to my mind and I quickly said, this is not what I'm going to participate in. God bless you. And I see people coming against this person. Now, unless they're a heretic, in which case they're not the body. They say something heretical that's against, that's an antichrist spirit. I will denounce that. But the rest of these denominational things, I'm not going to attack because I don't see God in that. And the devil looks for that open door, so we have to be careful. So that's sometimes what happens. I mean, the scripture is very clear. And it happens to be, that's why you see the body of Christ so sick. There's so much division.
Yeah, that's very true. There's a lot of division, for sure.
And like I said before, you know, the Archangel Michael, just let the Lord rebuke you. I mean, you know, we don't want to add anything to it. And I'd rather pray for you than, you know, get an accusation out there or curse or whatever, because now I got to answer for that. And you will answer for everything that you've said. There's power in the words. And as this whole evening has been about, life and death is the power of the tongue. And, you know, we all need to examine ourselves and, you know, let's move forward with God and pray for one another. Because if I don't love my brother, well, then I don't have God in me. That's what the scripture says. I need to love my brother. Who is my brother? Those that do the will of God. So if we're, you know, attacking one another, that's not God. We need to pray for one another. Amen?
Did you attack him through radiation or chemotherapy?
Did he go through it?
Yeah, did he take medical treatments like chemotherapy or radiation?
No. Mm-mm. Nope, he was fully believing, you know.
Wow.
I mean, towards the
end,
he was on. He said what?
Well, yeah, you can't blame him for that. But you know what? That's God bless him for that because he had his faith in God, and he's going to get that crown. You have to look at it that way. He's going to get a reward for keeping the faith in God and not, that's awesome. I just see him getting a crown in heaven for keeping the faith.
Yeah.
And that's the peace that we have that goes beyond understanding. People don't understand that when we know our loved one has passed, to be out of the body is to be where? With the Lord. You know, where is the sting of death? There isn't any. We trust
right.
God. We believe in God. Hallelujah. And we'll be reunited.
And
hallelujah.
Yeah, that's what I just keep saying is I'm going to see him again someday, so I'm happy about that.
Amen,
yes,
amen.
You're blessed. You have to look at it that way because, you know, my dad was not a believer, you know, I'm hearing my feedback. My dad wasn't a believer, and my mom died when I was 12, so I don't have that assurance, but I just gave it to God, you know. I didn't know if I would be able to bear it. How would I bear it if he didn't get saved? But I don't know. I did preach the gospel to him, so his last breath, he could have, you know, surrendered. I don't know, so I'm not dwelling on that, but you have that assurance, so be at peace. Be at peace with that. But as far as your question, you know, sometimes we don't, God doesn't answer all of our questions. But if you, like I said, there's many, many facets to that. But it is important to study that. If I were you, I do it. Listen to F.F. Bosworth or get the book. But it's all free. His son is reading it on YouTube. And I faith comes by hearing. And it just is a good thing to seek those answers to those questions, because then you'll see that there's so much more to healing and then is on the surface, and that's for us to know, so that we don't have you know, any open doors, or we can help others. That's how I see it. I just see it as taking something bad and turning it into a good thing, you know, so that you can help others that might be going through it, so you'll have some, you know, some revelation or some answers. But some things we just don't know. Sometimes we just don't know that, and we'll find out when we get to heaven.
Well, that's just what is faith? Some things hope for, the other things not seen. So sometimes we don't see it, but like I said, the Lord showed me about, I asked him, and he showed me, and our fellows are anointed. He showed me how the littlest thing that we do for him is a great big thing in the spirit realm, what it's doing. And that's just it. You know, that's why we confess. That's why we give testimony. That's why, you know, we declare the good news. And praise God, this is what it's all about, is you know, we have a heart for others. We love our brethren. And we're for them and not against them. And I really enjoy, you know, hearing testimony. I love it. It just fills me up. And I just want to thank you for calling in. And we only got a few more minutes, so we can stay and just talk a few more minutes before I go. Linda and I have to let Randy get back on tonight. And I thought about giving another testimony, but I'm going to save everything, I think. I don't know which weekend, but like I said, you got something else, Lynn?
Just want to know if, Jim, I'm hearing my feedback. Okay. I just wanted to know if you are struggling with having peace about your father's death. Are you battling that, or are you okay with it?
You know, I think I am struggling with it. I just don't have peace about it, you know.
Well, you know, it could be.
We'll be back in a minute. We got somebody at the front door. Hold on. Okay, we're back. Somebody was trying to deliver things to our house, just a minute, and it wasn't. Well, anyway, you know, everybody is listening. Please, you know, examine yourselves before you go to bed. And okay, Lynn, do you want to come against any grief?
So, would you say that you're battling grief?
Battling grief, you said?
Yes. Are you moving? Do you feel grief still?
Yeah. It's got.
And how long has it been since your dad died? 6 months, did you say?
It's been since August, so I don't know. I guess that's...
Okay, see, now what happened is I prayed for a woman whose mother died, and she couldn't get over the death, and it had been 7 years. And I prayed for her, and this was before I understood about any of this stuff. I just knew that it wasn't God, and the spirit just rose up in me. And I prayed, you know, just burn it all out. It was a spirit of grief, and she couldn't go on with her life. She just didn't have answers. And to make long story short, it set her free. she found me. She said, I've been looking for you. 3 months later, she'd be teaching Sunday school. She got her life back. She was going to church. Everything changed. So, yeah. and Ecclesiastes, it says that for everything there's a season. But the season in the Bible is about a month. And anything longer than that, it can take root. You have to just, throw off those grave clothes, the sackcloth and ashes, and just, wash yourself with God's spirit and let God give you his peace. So I'm going to come against the strong man of grief right now. I bind the strong man and I cut its root tentacles, and I ask your angels, Lord, dispatch the angels right now in Jesus' name to assist her in this deliverance in Jesus' name from the spirit of grief. We curse grief at the root and command it to go. Sorrow, go in Jesus' name. We bind sorrow and command it to go in Jesus' name. Heaviness, go in Jesus' name. We bind heaviness and command heaviness to leave her now. Confusion, go. We bind confusion and we cut its roots and tentacles and command confusion to go. In Jesus' name, just burn it all out, Lord. Burn it out. Pour your fire in that, and just burn it out. We pour the fire of God, the fire on you. You, all you demons that are attached to the strong man of grief, you must go too. Burn it out. Burn it all out of her in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, replace it with rivers of living water that you would wash her anew and refresh her her body, soul, and spirit in Jesus' name. Jim?
Well, amen and amen. Praise God.
Just
I believe you're going to notice.
Breath and just take a deep breath and exhale. Just let them all go. Just give it to God. Mm-hmm. Give it to God. Let go and let God. And just be at peace. Lord, pour your peace over her. Pour your peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Just flood her in your peace and your restoration. Restore her soul in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Peace all over and in her in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe you're even noticing now that you're going to feel a lightness, like something is lifting off your shoulders. And it's going to continue for total freedom of that spirit of grief is going in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely felt something when you were praying, so I know God's working. I know he's doing something.
Well, like I said, this woman came back to me and said her whole life, she got her life back. Can you imagine that that's why God, he just lays out his instruction book. Here's the time that you grieve, and then you have to just move on and when you know all these things and you take the steps in God, everything is in order. But, of course, we don't understand everything, and we just, our emotions get a hold of us. So then we come in and we pray for you, and you get set free. So praise God for that.
Yeah. Praise God and amen.
Well, God bless you, Jennifer, and all those listeners. We're going to have to go and let Randy get on. So we'll be on next Monday, and God bless everybody. And thanks for all the testimony, everyone.
And God bless you guys. I hope you have a good night.
God bless you.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.